The Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, November 14th, 2017. Reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Listening friends, today we're going to learn about giving God all the glory, as today and tomorrow we'll conclude the five-part series as preached by Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, as he's been preaching on the Reformation with his concluding message on All Glory to God, which will be placed into today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. Here's Pastor Jason with some introductory remarks as he lays the groundwork for his message on All Glory to God.
These five things that form what they call the five solas of the Reformation, the five alones of the Reformation, are bigger than just the Reformation. They are five great guideposts for us in our life of faith to continually keep our eyes upon that faith alone comes by grace alone, through Christ alone, that we're reminded continually of that as we read Scripture alone. For what? Well, where we are today, for the glory of God alone. And that all of these five guideposts are meant to draw us to God. That's what we're going to talk about today, the glory of God alone. Because what happens in our culture and what happens continually is we hear the voices of men. And we begin to be enamored by the voices of men, whether it is men today. Maybe it's Francis Chan or this person or that person. Maybe it is the historic people, the reformers. Maybe it's Luther or Calvin or Huss or, you could take your pick, Knox or Whitfield or Spurgeon. But what we need to understand in all of that is that all men have clay feet. The best of men are men at best. And that's to prove to us that what we need to do is keep our eyes fixed upon the best man ever. And that's Jesus Christ. That all of these five solas and these five guideposts are supposed to take us to a place where we are focused upon Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, by reading Scripture for the glory of God alone, lifting up His Son and seeing the magnificent work that God has done on our behalf. Going into His Word and reading verses like Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, which says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," which means all have put themselves in a place, all are in a place where they are so undeserving of this gift and the magnitude of this gift. And we talk about Romans 3:23 often, but what we forget sometimes is to read Romans 3:22, which before the bad news comes the good news that says this gift of grace is available to all who believe. This gift of Jesus Christ is available to all who believe. And then God comes behind that to say, "I want you to understand you don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you anyways." And so what I want us to do as we wrap this up, I my hope would be, is that this is not just a series of teachings where you go, "Oh, you know what? The Reformation happened. It's been 500 years. Yay, Reformation. Now we're moving on to the next thing." I would hope that somehow in your heart, you would not celebrate necessarily the reformers, but you would celebrate God, and that you would stand on those basic tenets, faith alone, by grace alone, for the glory of God alone, and Christ alone, and in Scripture alone. And so today we're going to round this out. We're going to finish it by talking about the glory of God, sola de gloria, the glory of God alone. It was about 6 years ago that I went to this conference for the first time. It's called Together for the Gospel. Happens down in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a biannual conference. And I went down to this conference because I had heard that you should go to this conference. It's a great conference. And so I was in a season where I needed some refreshing. I needed to kind of get away and just refresh. So I went down to this conference and I joined 14,000 other people for 3 days. And I have to tell you, they did it in like this big sports arena. So there was like tiers that you could sit in. And I remember that I wasn't sure where to go and what to do, so I sat in one of the upper tiers because I just didn't want to battle getting a seat. And I can still remember this, to this day, I can remember sitting in that upper tier in this massive crowd of 14,000 people around the stadium, being led in worship by one single piano. This conference, the worship is being led by one person and one piano. Not what you normally would think of for the conference this size. And I remember these 14,000 people stretched around this stadium, and one piano in the middle leading worship. And we sang, "We will glorify the King of Kings, we will glorify the Lamb, we will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am, who is the great I Am." This is what I want to tell you, and this is why I bring this up, is because prior to this, I had never experienced this kind of worship before. I had never experienced 14,000 people singing for the glory of God at one time. I've been in places where there were 100 or 10 or 20 or 50. I've been in different, but I'd never been where there was 14,000 people and no band, just a piano. In fact, I remember still when I hear that recording, I'm going to tell you, it's probably one of the hardest albums for me to listen to, because I remember only being able to sing a few of the lines and then weeping. And just being overtaken by this kind of worship. As I heard 14,000 people singing praises to God, it just stunned my heart. I couldn't even sing anymore. And it was in that moment that nothing seemed more right and more beautiful than hearing those voices joyfully giving glory to God. In fact, I marked in my Bible that day. Sometimes there's moments where I have my Bible and something happens and I mark a piece of Scripture. And I marked this in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 and 13, and it says this: "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads upon myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" I marked that in my Bible because as close as I can get to Revelation chapter 5, that's what it felt like in that room. Hearing thousands upon thousands of people singing to God's glory. As we talk about God's glory alone, Sola de Gloria today, it's probably going to be one of the hardest things for us to kind of put our finger on. And the reason for that is because every aspect of our lives should encompass the glorifying of God. Everything we do should be about glorifying God. If we believe that we are saved and we believe that we are redeemed and we believe that in all of that we are undeserving, that should continually drive us to lift our hands up and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." As my grandmother used to say, if you believe God made Brussels sprouts, you ought to thank Him for it, be quiet and eat them. In every aspect of our lives, we are made to live for the glory of God and to live for His purposes. And so my hope today is this. If I have one hope as we finish these five solas, that you would be moved to live a life that glorifies God. More than just a passing thought. More than just like, that was a good sermon. That was a good idea. He's kind of funny today. But instead you would go, you know what? I want to live a life that is dominated by glorifying God and giving glory to Him in every way that I can. You know, there are a lot of things that glorify God. Some of them do it just for their sheer beauty. There are sunsets there. How many of you have seen a sunset? Somebody just sent me a picture of a sunset the other day. How many of you have seen a sunset, or you've seen the mountains, you've seen the Grand Canyon, and you're just kind of like, wow. Wow. I mean, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. But what I want you to realize is that's passive glory. They don't intend to live that way or make decisions to live that way. The mountains and the sunsets and those things show off God's handiwork. It's passive glory. They show His glory, but they don't make the decision to do it. But we, on the other hand, were made in God's image and were given abilities and gifts and the choice to live our lives for God, to live our lives to glorify Him. And so, friends, what I want us to do is I really want us to start to live lives where our purpose is to glorify Him, to continually point to Him, to continually say, I don't know how I did that. Praise God. Gosh, we so often want to just own the glory, don't we? Instead of give the glory. I mean, we can so easily lose sight. And just listen to me. Imagine how different this community would be, this nation would be, this world would be, if 3, 5, 25, 50, 200, 1,000 people made the resolute decision today to live for the glory of God. Imagine how different things might be if people constantly weren't trying to own it all, but instead give it all away by giving Him glory. So my question to you today is, do you live a life, a purposeful life that continually points to Him, that continually gives Him glory? You know, one part of the theses that Martin Luther wrote and one of the teachings that Martin Luther made famous was the priesthood of all believers. And I think we easily lose sight of that teaching. I mean, how many people in here, how many people do you know believe that the priest or the pastor has a special standing with God? How many of you are like, well, you know, he's the pastor. How many of you have said, well, I'm not the pastor? Because I know, because usually I hear it. Now, hopefully I'm not working myself out of a job here, but I've been in many, many places where people will say to me, will you pray? You're the pastor. Will you share a word? Because you're the pastor. And I love to do that. I love to pray. I love to share God's word. I love to do those things. I love to pray with and for you. But listen, friends, I also love to hear your prayers. I also love to hear how you are interceding and loving one another. 1 John chapter 3, I believe it is. Jake could correct me. I'm kind of flying off. John says, there's no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. And so I don't feel at loss in terms of my job status when I hear that you're doing my job. In fact, I am absolutely joyful when I hear that. And not because I'm trying to get out of doing my job, but because we're all called to do that job. Every single one of us. There's a little bit of my heart that is sad when somebody comes and they say, I need you to pray with me. And I said, oh, I would love to pray with you. Yeah, I just got done meeting for coffee with this person. Did you ask them to pray for you? No, I knew I was going to come see you. Oh my gosh. And so what I want us to understand is the Reformers put forth this idea, the priesthood of all believers. And it is a scriptural idea we're going to see in just a second. But listen, what is the first step in living a life that glorifies God? Is that you believe that you can do it. You believe that you're a priest. You've been called by God to do this thing. Not simply saying, well, my pastor, he'll be the one who glorifies God. But that we'll do it by actually doing what Jesus has called us to do it. We said this many weeks ago, I think when we did Sola Scriptura, but do you believe the Word of God? Who believes the Word of God in here? I thought maybe for the purpose of the recording, you guys would all go, me! There was a lot of hands up. Just want to make note of that. So now I want to come behind that and challenge you, because if you believe the Word of God, the Word of God says that you can do it and says that you should do it. In fact, it commands that you would do it. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. The power of the priesthood of all believers is that all believers go directly to God through one mediator, in Christ alone. They go directly to God through Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, and that is the man Jesus Christ. And listen, Martin Luther had very strong thoughts about this. He had very strong thoughts about the priesthood of all believers. Martin Luther said that the calling for all people is to bring glory to God in everything and in everything they do, with everything and in everything they do. Martin Luther said that a shoemaker didn't need to put a cross on the bottom of his shoes when he made them to give glory to God. God likes when people have shoes and the cobbler can do his work unto the Lord, he would say. Martin Luther also said that a homemaker does not have to sing hymns as he or she scrubs the floor at home to glorify God in that activity. God likes clean floors, or else he would not have created the bucket or the brush. For those of you, if you're not wrapping your mind around that, he created the Swiffer too. I love this. Martin Luther wrote, God milks cows, but he does it through the people who work at the dairy. Friends, God makes music through those who make music. God prepares meals through those who prepare meal. God raises godly children through those who raise godly children in his name. God works through people. And I want to ask you, do you ever think about that? Do you ever think like that? That the purposes of God in this world is he completes and accomplishes his purposes through his people, through his priests. This is why 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, so whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, everybody say whatever. Whatever. Add to that in parentheses, I'm not adding to the Word of God, but I'm clarifying, whenever. So whether you eat or drink or whatever, whenever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. This, friends, Luther would say, is the small acts of life and worship that give our lives to the Lord, that glorify the Lord in the little parts of our lives. You know, one of the great and kind of famous stories of glorifying God with our giftings and what we do with our lives comes out of the story of Eric Little and Harold Abrams. It was from the movie Chariots of Fire. How many have seen Chariots of Fire? How many have at least heard the song? Dun, dun, dun. I'm certain you have. But in Chariots of Fire, both men are Olympic runners running in the Olympics in 1924 in Paris, France. And Liddell famously runs for the glory of God, so much so that he would not race a race on Sunday because it was the Sabbath. He would not race a race that he could clearly win and get a medal because it was on the Sabbath. But Eric Little runs for the glory of God. And in one of the pivotal scenes, Little says, I believe God made me for a purpose. He made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give up running would be to hold him in contempt. It's not just fun, he says. To win is to honor him. Because it's the gifts that God has given him to do what God has called him to do. Little wanted to run to please God and to glorify God. How many of you in the giftings that you have want to use them to glorify God? Now, if we jump ahead to the end of the movie, Little wins the gold medal. I'm sorry if you haven't seen the movie. I just spoiled it for you. But he wins the gold medal. And as his friends hoist him up in the air, this is the Tebow before there was Tebowing, lifts him up in the air, what does Little do? He points to heaven and gives glory to God. He said, it wasn't me. It was him. He's the one who made me fast. He ran for the glory of God alone, and he celebrated that great joy by pointing to God and giving him the glory. Harold Abrams, on the other hand, ran for Harold Abrams alone. And when the movie ends, he's sitting in a Paris cafe on the sidewalk. He's won a medal, but he's sitting on the Paris with his coach, and he is depressed and trying to kind of drown out his sorrows because he doesn't know what to do with the medal. He doesn't know what to do with his life anymore. Because when you run for your own self, if you win the race, you won't know what to do. Because you don't know what to do with the accomplishment. Unlike Little, he didn't give glory to God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says this, the chief end of man. By the way, when it says chief end, that means the most important end of man. Is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. You can't enjoy a single thing you might accomplish if you don't realize how you accomplished it. You will struggle to to wrap your mind around and to really truly find joy and enjoy those things. If you don't realize that it was God who gave them all to you and glorify Him in it. It's hard to enjoy God when you run for yourself. It's a very shallow life to glorify in yourself than sola de gloria, to glory in God alone. Giving God all the glory, not yourself, not other people, not other saints, not the church, not the pastor, not the priest, not the president, not anybody else, not any other king. Glory in God alone frees us to know that we live all of our lives for His fame and for His name. That we glorify Him in all things. And so since I believe that the whole of the Word of Scripture, the whole of the Word of God glorifies God, I was hard-pressed to find a Scripture that I really wanted to share with you this morning, but I did. And that is in Ephesians chapter 3, the great prayer of Paul, one of my favorite prayers in all of the Bible. And there are so many wonderful prayers. But this one just always kills me. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. You know, if kneeling is something that you're accustomed to in prayer, this probably doesn't really get your attention. But in this passage, it's more than that, because Paul is Jewish by persuasion and by upbringing. And the Jews don't kneel in prayer. In fact, Jews stand when they pray. Kneeling in the Bible, actually in prayer, for a Jewish person is indicated only in extraordinary situations and passion. And so what drives Paul to his knees? What is the extraordinary circumstance?
Oh, dear listener, find out that answer on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, the Wednesday edition. But you probably already know that being before the Father, we're compelled to give Him the glory. That was Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet, delivering a message on All Glory to God this past Sunday, and we'll pick up where we're left off today on tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.